This is episode 351. Are you in a perfect relationship? Oh, you're not? How interesting. Guess what? Neither am I. As it turns out, the modern dating landscape is a bit of a mess. And not only that, but divorce is at an all-time high, with over 53% of couples getting divorced. And the world seems full of people that are either unhappy in their relationship or unable to find the perfect man or the perfect woman. Connections between men and women are a bit of a mess at the moment. And so in this episode, we have some juicy conversations about how childhood trauma affects women and brings out their masculine traits, and how sometimes women want to change men so that they can manufacture the love that they really want. We also talk a bit of history about when women started having to be much more masculine as a part of their survival, and also why the modern man is intimidated by masculinized women. We also touch on the lack of sex and intimacy in long-term relationships, and men not being able to speak about their emotions. It's an awesome conversation, and I want you to know that since we're both heterosexuals, the conversation is mostly talking about men and women, but this can be applied to all intimate and romantic couples. One last thing, there are many threads of conversation in here that don't get fully explored because we would need many, many, many hours to unpack. So don't take this as the whole message. There's a lot more to come to fully explore these ideas, but I guarantee you this is an amazing place to start if you do want to get as close as you can to finding or creating happiness and tranquility in your love life and your relationship. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? How the hell are you? I hope you're having a good day. I am definitely having a good day, to be totally honest. I've just launched a brand new program on a new platform and everything looks amazing, and I'm just really happy about it, to be totally honest. And that program is to help me with the mission I've been on for a few years now, and probably for many years into the future, to be totally honest. And that is that in 2024, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And so if that is something that you know is missing from your journey, or that you have trouble saying no to food, wine, sugar, snacks, treats, all of that kind of stuff, despite knowing what you should be doing, then scroll down to the show notes below and click the link to send me a message. Let's see if we're a good fit to work together on the challenges you might have with food. All right, now jumping into what seems like an entirely different conversation, one of the strongest contributors to our state of health is the intimate relationship that exists in our life, because that's the person we spend the most amount of time with. That's the person that's the closest to us, right? And the way that we connect with our romantic partner in many contexts is around food and all of the extracurricular activities that come with that, social events with wine and food and charcuterie boards and all of that kind of stuff. And so I use that point to begin us walking down the path of talking about the masculine and the feminine. And here to drop some knowledge and philosophy on us today is Juliana Joy. Now, Juliana is a dating and relationship mentor with a decade of experience in energy work, of which she uses that expertise to help women align their body, soul, and heart for a deeper connection with their partner. Not only is Juliana a relationship expert, but she is also the author of Bring Him Closer, an energetic framework that helps women build a more robust and meaningful relationship with their man. So let's talk relationships, sex, dating, all of those kind of things. Juliana, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matty, and thank you so much for inviting me. I feel excited to be talking with you today.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation. Honestly, it comes up so much in my social media because all of the time, if I'm on Facebook or I'm on YouTube, I'm constantly, and the algorithm must know that I'm in the world of dating because it's constantly sending me all of this advice and expert advice on how women should be and how men should be and what I need to be more of or less of. And there seems to be just so much conversation right now in this space of relationships and what everybody should want or what they should be doing.
Yeah. Just before we hopped on the call, I was listening to your podcast about how Instagram is hurting our sex life. Mm-hmm. And as you just mentioned, that we have so much input about relationships on social media, I actually have observed that this is hurting us more than it's helping. And the reason is when you get a 15, 30 seconds input, you just get an idea taken completely out of context. And I have seen so many women applying that in a different context where this idea does not work very well. And this is something where I see myself on a mission to educate women to be able to take their own decisions, to understand what's going on in the relationship dynamics with their men, and really feel confident and empowered that their inner knowing is leading them. Just because when we start following, just imagine, we hit a 30-second TikTok telling us that if he stops calling you, you should match his energy, for example, and also completely stop everything. And what I've seen women doing is, okay, so then I'm going to be hard to get. So if he would text me like, hi, how are you? I wouldn't tell him that I've been waiting to hear from him for 3 days, right? I would just tell him, yeah, I'm fine. You know? So this is this type of matching his energy, which very often, it so much depends really on the whole context, on the history of that relationship, makes us do things which are not aligned with us, which are not aligned with the underlying energy that we are sending. And what actually is happening, men feel the disturbance between what we say and what we actually send on the unspoken energetic way. And I believe, even though men are very logical beings, they also feel very, very well. So they feel us better than actually we know. And when we start sending that disturbance, well, we create just disconnect. That's the whole thing. And that's why I say those quick advice here and there, same as it influences, and the end of the day, the confidence in sex also influences our communication and creates disconnect before we even get to the sex part of our relationship.
I totally agree with what you just said about most men feeling what's going on, because I think most men know the second that they have phrased a sentence in a certain way or used a particular tone or brought up a specific topic in a particular way, that after it lands, they can feel that, oh, I probably shouldn't have said it that way or done it that way. Or she walks in the door and she's had some kind of day. Like, as long as you know the person, even kind of well, you can feel what's going on pretty quickly. And I think most men would say that, yeah, I sensed it, you know, but maybe they not necessarily attach it to like, oh, I'm emotionally in tune with her energy is maybe not how they would language it, but they definitely picking up on those, you know, unconscious signals.
You know, for us women, for us, it's easier to notice how we feel. And what I've noticed is men and also women in masculine energy, they also notice that, but they bring it across as a very logical statement. It sounds logical. And if I look into my husband, I was just challenging him sometimes and talking to him like, hey, you have an intuition and what you decide right now is based on what you have seen and what your intuition is telling you. And his answer was, well, I'm just trying to figure out the best possible solution to the thing, which is basically this logical translation of what he has been perceiving and feeling. And this is, I think, what you just mentioned right now.
Yeah, I think as well, modern society does not encourage men to feel. And I would say that in the Western world, and particularly sort of, you know, the USA, Australia, the UK, and probably where you are in Germany as well, you know, anxiety, suicide, and depression are the highest in like the most privileged countries in the world. And I think a big factor in regards to men, and the number one cause of death in Australia for men between 15 and 45 is male suicide, right? And so I think a big part of that is men are not encouraged and don't have a safe space in the modern world to express emotion. I think we're getting a lot better, and possibly the pendulum is swinging too far the other way where everybody's, you know, can't wait to get their label and their medication. But I think that, yeah, we're in a space, or at least have been for some time, where the idea that men and emotions are in the same sentence is a bit strange for people, and it brings up resistance for your manly men that are like, no, 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 we don't do emotions, we do logic.
Yeah. You said a word, safe, the key word safe. And if we think of why half of the marriages go apart, why men feel so pushed to the wall that they end up committing suicide or any other forms of dealing with whatever is going on in our lives and the challenges. And if I want to bring it back to relationships, for me, creating a safe space where both partners feel safe to really share what's going on for them is what makes or breaks a relationship in long term. And really, if you look into so many of the women I work with, they're just starting over after a divorce. And I see what a wounded baggage they carry just because for 10, 15, 20 years, this thing was just not working. And of course, for them, it's heavy. For the men, it's not easier for sure. But if we really look into what happened, they would just not be being able to see each other's wounds, desires, pain, all those things that we so often do not even want to feel on our own just because it's unpleasant. Mm. We don't want to feel the yuck, right? And then we don't want to feel it, so we suppress it. We don't share it with our partner, or maybe even if we try to share, they are not very open to listening, or they just meet us with their baggage, and then we just have an emotional baggage clash instead of having that safe space to really share who we are. And if you think of this one song, which so much for me represents the challenges a man is facing, this is from Eminem, Mockingbird. Basically, he's talking to his daughter, but he's describing the challenge that the changes that he's going through, making a living, providing, missing his kids, etc. And if you look into, in our, let's say, modern families, both parents usually work. Mm. We have a total overwhelm in terms of household, co-parenting, work. We just become a robot trying to get things done. And if in that very challenging stage of our lives, we do not maintain the connection with our partner, mm-hmm. what happens is we become co-workers trying to manage the chaos. But from there, what goes? No sex, no intimacy, no emotion, no romance. She's disappointed, he's disappointed. And this is where the coping mechanism starts, like, it could be emotional eating for her. It could be excessive sport for him or excessive career diving for him or cheating, unfortunately, and all those kind of things, porn. And all of that, for me, the root cause is the lack of connection and the lack of emotional safety.
Mm, I totally agree. And I think that most people did not in their homes have emotional safety shown to them or taught to them by the embodiment of those practices by their parents. And so we've got a world where 99% of people are not exposed to what a whole healthy human looks like and how that person conducts themselves when they're triggered and they're stressed. And, you know, we've all got our own past trauma to deal with and to bring into that. And so I think we're very fortunate as well with the modern, you know, landscape of the internet. You know, it's got its pros and its cons, to be able to be exposed to all of this personal development and learning, like, oh, you know, I have triggers or I have trauma. And I know for myself, actually, in my early 20s, because I was the definition of an awful partner for a long time, and I just didn't know why. And I didn't really care either, because I just thought, this is who I am. You know, I have no control over it. And it wasn't until probably the most important woman in my life to date, until she brought it to my attention that, oh, I think that, you know, you had some really traumatic things happen and it's resulted in you being this person. And it wasn't until somebody that I cared about and trusted said that in the right way that I was like, oh, what do you mean?
Yes. I just wanted to say that this woman made something really, really amazing. She held space for you so that you were able to see that.
Yes.
Wow. It's so cool. Really, really cool.
That's so accurate. And she continued to do that for many years. And without that, I genuinely have no idea what version of myself I would be.
Yeah. Women that I work with come and ask me, oh, my man is emotionally unavailable. He's wounded. He's avoidant. Like, how can I make him be open and et cetera? And usually my answer is, you cannot make a man do anything. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take him the way he is. You either like him or you don't. You take him with his flaws or you don't. But what you can do is you can work on yourself, share about your own reflections, and just give him the opportunity to reflect on himself. And I think this woman, just the example that you mentioned, she obviously has done some work on herself so that she was able to see and to share and to kind of invite you in that space. And it's a really great example how actually we create a safe space, how we create connection, and how we make a relationship work at the end of it.
Yeah, oh, it was incredibly powerful. And it's sort of, it was a 9-year relationship, which has been over for many years at this point. But it was arguably the most important thing because I was unfamiliar with the idea of safety and women that were close to me. And that's got to do with a bunch of childhood trauma stuff and life challenges. But yeah, and I just thought that I was destined for the rest of my life to be an unreliable, unfaithful, horrible, defensive, self-protective partner. And it wasn't until I was actually shown unconditional love from a woman, which I didn't receive growing up, that I was like finally able to sort of let it all out, process it. It taught me so much. Literally, this podcast, my health and wellness business, none of it would exist because all of it is built on the work that she invited me to do.
Wow. Wow. And you know, when I look back, my self-development journey started with noticing how my 6-year relationship partner is trying to cheat. He's trying to cheat.
Right.
Or he was, at least in his mind, he was cheating. And I was a corporate girl, the typical corporate girl working on a career with high aspirations. I have a background from Eastern Europe, and a lot of Eastern European moms, they teach us to be independent, to be strong, to be making a name and a career and wealth on our own. So this is the thing that a typical Eastern European mom would desire for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And what when we were raised, what our moms are missing is that they just do not teach us to also be a human. They almost teach us to be this hardworking robot, having the wealth, just because, again, from the history, this was a challenging time then. So this was me, and boyfriend of 6 years. And after 2 years, I told him, look, I want to know where this is going. You know, I want to have a family one day.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, well, I have no plans. But I stayed in that relationship for 4 more years.
Oh, he even told you. He even told you.
He told me. And I didn't want to hear that. And I was like, no, I'm going to make things work. I will just, like a project, I'm going to fix that thing. And 4 years later, I was still not able to fix the thing. And I was 29 back then. So, you know, in my Eastern European mind, by 30, I was supposed to have a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm too old to have kids.
Mm.
So, and instead of that, what I find out, we were just off to a 1-week diving safari on a boat. The first day we were just arriving on the boat and I saw his phone, you know, a message popping up. And then I could notice, oh my God, this was a flirty message. So he obviously has been flirting with this colleague that I knew. We all knew each other from
right.
the company. And you can imagine how I survived this 1 week with him in one cabin on a boat on the sea,
mm-hmm.
knowing what's going on. And I went through insane amount of anger and frustration. But what really happened afterwards is I asked myself probably the most important question in my life so far. I asked myself, how on some level am I creating this problem? How am I contributing to experiencing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask that from really this place of, oh, I'm a victim and what's happening to me, but really more from a place of manager. I want to solve it. I have a problem. I want to solve it. So let me solve that. And I started intensively researching for what can solve my problem. And I ended up with energy. I did 4 years apprenticeship with somebody who was doing energy work. And when I started literally seeing the energetic exchange between two people and noticing what I have been practicing in that 6-year relationship and also understanding why I would not receive this commitment that I wanted, him stepping up the way I wanted, I really would say if I turn time back and if I was acting differently and managing my energy in a different way, who knows where this thing would have developed? I don't know that.
Mm. I'm curious, when you do look back and you think about the energy that you were showing up with, how were you showing up, and how do you think that contributed to the journey that you took?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, it felt awful. I was feeling like I'm his mom and he's a teenager and I'm trying to tell him to do things and he would just kind of block it off.
Yeah.
And it's not a nice feeling. It's just awful. Mm-hmm. But I was really heavily trying to convince him. Mm-hmm. For whatever, if it's planning a holiday, if it's just planning the weekend or household chores, you know, anything. I was just trying to convince. I was trying to talk. And what do we do when we have a project, right? We talk about the milestones, we agree on targets and we do it. So this was what I was trying at home. And it doesn't work. And I could not understand why it doesn't work. But if I look into the amount of energy, not aligned energy with me, that I was just really sending, it makes sense to me why it wouldn't work. Because just for him, he would be like, "Ooh, just I need to hide. I need to protect myself from that." And this is where, when we complain that men in our relationships are becoming feminine, mm-hmm. passive, or lazy, for me, there's our role as women in that relationship is so massive. Or I so often hear things like, "Oh, he's afraid of commitment. So, he loves me, but he's afraid." Well, I would respect a man enough to tell him, "Hey, you know what you want." Mm-hmm. And this is something that we have to see as women.
Mm. I think this is a similar point to the one we made before about your ex-partner actually telling you that he didn't have any plans, right? And I think as well, this idea, and there's so many places I want to take this conversation, but we see this idea a lot, particularly from women in their 20s, but probably 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, is that I can change him. This idea that I'll be the one. But I can understand the logic behind that, because of course you want to be the one. Like, that would make you feel special as a woman, right? And obviously, you know, this is probably true in couples that are not just heterosexual. Like all couples, there's that masculine feminine dynamic in some way. And so I can understand why the woman would be like, or the feminine energy would be like, if I'm the one he changes for, then I feel special. I feel chosen. And so I think they're artificially trying to create that idea that I have been chosen, rather than going to a man that actually consciously chooses you.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. you know, I'm actually in May, or very soon, I'm planning to have a special training for my community. Mm-hmm. And it's about how the way we experience our parents as young kids impacts the way we behave in relationship.
Yeah.
And as you were just mentioning this, I was thinking of so many women who are trying to receive the love of their partner. Mm-hmm. The way they were trying to receive the love from their dad or mom, mm-hmm. and they were not really getting it.
Mm.
And it's also almost, yes, if he changes for me, I will feel special. But actually the root cause is maybe my dad was working a traveling job. He was never home. And I would wish that I would spend more time with him. And I was trying to convince him. And he was, of course, he had to provide and work. So he was away. But this is this type of pattern, like, I want to make him do something for me, make a sacrifice so that I feel loved. The main question is, what in the way I grew up made me feel loved or meant that I'm loved? And very often we have an unhealthy, in our brains, we have an unhealthy link between what I receive is equal to love, which is not equal to love.
Yeah.
But this is our very young brains. This is how they think.
Yeah.
And then we become a 43-year-old woman who wants to have a family and who's not able to actually to make the right choice for a man, mm-hmm. because she's looking for love in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. I think as well, when we get to that point, we've got women, and I'm going to speak from personal experience, is that we'll go back a few years to the feminist movement, right? there's a lot of positive things that happened, and I want everyone to know, and the extreme vast majority of my audience are women, so I'm putting all the disclaimers out there that I love you all and you're all fantastic and I believe in equal rights and all that kind of stuff. But now, many decades after the feminist movement began, we have, in my experience, a dating landscape and a world where women no longer need men. And they come at men with this attitude of, how are you going to make my life better? Right? Which is, that energy is savage and gross and repulsive, to be totally honest. Like, as a man, there's nothing feminine about that type of energy. There's very little security in the way that sort of these strong, powerful women that have got, you know, they've got businesses and they've got high-level jobs. And don't get me wrong, personal empowerment, I'm very impressed. I think it's amazing. But when you're coming into the conversation saying, hey, I don't need you, buddy, just so you know, I'm fine on my own, that is a really gross space. And arguably, that comes from childhood too, which is maybe the male role models in those particular types of women's family were not strong role models, or they left when she was 5, or he was a drunk. And so, you know, the overcompensation in the modern world is, well, I'm going to make sure that I've got all the money and I've got all the cards and all the security so nobody can hurt me.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps as I was listening to you, because this was so, and I hope really everyone who is listening will just take this away. This, I don't need you, buddy, is so repelling.
Oh, it is. Just, it's gross.
Oh, yes, it is. And it comes actually from a wounded place. As a woman, what I can tell you is every woman actually needs a man. We need it. We crave it. And when we come across as, I'm so strong, I don't need anyone, I'm this career woman, and then we start complaining that we are intimidating men, what actually is happening is our overcompensation for the wounds that we carry is the one repelling men. It's not we. It's not our success. It's not none of that. And not needing someone is actually pretty important to survive.
Yeah.
But we don't have to put it in the face. We don't have to, you know, just kind of push it out there.
Yeah.
I really, really hope everyone who is listening, and I know if you hear that first time, it maybe feel like your mind will explode. At least this is how I was perceiving all those pieces of knowledge back then when I was starting. And I would just sit on that and I would really go for a walk and have my mind conversation like, but how? But is that really possible? And I would sit on that information and I would start observing and noticing what's going on. And really through those, the ways that my mind was challenged back then, I could really understand my patterns. And really breaking the pattern is probably the biggest challenge. That's why people go and get help from other people, so that they can break their patterns, so that they are able to see the patterns. And right now, with just our conversations, we are giving a chance for someone to see a pattern. So I think it's a very valuable conversation we are having. And even if it feels challenging, if it feels like, no, this cannot be, my invitation is actually to give that idea a little space and just sit on that and maybe listen to the podcast again in a few days. Yeah, this can change the life of somebody listening.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very serious about that.
So picture this, right? Unlocking your potential, conquering emotional eating, and gaining insights directly from a health and nutrition expert such as myself. That's what we do inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group, which is currently free to join. If you've ever felt trapped by food challenges, struggled with maintaining a healthy lifestyle, or yearned for a community that understands the reasons why you've yo-yo dieted for years, then there's a new chapter waiting to be written. And this is your chance to start writing it by joining us all on Facebook Lives, on engaging posts that push you out of your comfort zone and into growth, and Q&A sessions with me. All of this works as a platform to begin changing your emotional eating problems for good. Oh, and also, as a special gift, you'll receive my transformative How to Turn Food into Self-Confidence ebook. And that's also for free. I get it. Skepticism might linger. You might think, Maddie, I've heard these ads and I'm not sure. Well, at least a quarter of the members inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group have been paying clients of my emotional eating program at some point over the last 3 or 4 years. So if you're not sure, you can post in the group and ask to find out if I'm the real deal or not. It's totally up to you. To join us in the free Healthy Mums Collective and to end your emotional eating and feel good in your own skin and begin that journey, pop down to the show notes below, click the link and breeze through three simple entry questions. Join today and let's embark on a journey of growth and empowerment. The link is in the show notes below. Yeah, well, I think too, like a lot of the people that I work with and that listen to the show, and I know this particularly from private clients that are, you know, maybe in their between 40s and even 70s, is that some relationships, there's been no intimacy for a very long time, you know, in some cases, many years. And I've even had experiences with clients where it's a strange thing to hug their partner. And so I'm curious as well how in this modern world, and there's a book on it, and I always forget the name of the book, that talks about when in history women became the most powerful figure in the home. And it was basically the introduction of the industrial age, because that was the beginning of men leaving the home. And that was the very beginning. And this is obviously a few hundred years ago. So we've got, you know, 10 or 15 generations of men that have been leaving the home, which has required women to step into their masculine because there's no, you know, adult men around to help. He goes to work to the mine or to, you know, to the town nearby or to the market to work all day. Whereas before that, it was very much the man was around all the time. The boys probably went and worked with him all day from the age that they could walk. And so this book basically talks about the idea that it's about 250 years in across the whole world, the beginning of the industrial age. And it uses this example of asking a German family and a Brazilian family and all these different families, who's the boss in your house? And everyone says mum. And so this, in my mind, was the real beginning of the sort of masculinization of women, generally speaking. Because in my experience with natural medicine, if we actually look beyond that to sort of hundreds or thousands of years ago, the embodiment of the feminine in tribal settings was a really well-acknowledged thing. And the utility of the feminine energy in healing and medicating and supporting and raising children, and not that they're the only tasks women can do. But my point is that the females then had a clearly defined role, whereas sort of the industrial age brought upon this idea of, oh, we've got to begin going to work and working in factories or running everything. And so now, a few hundred years later, we're in this situation where we've got men that are kind of scared of all of the women because the women have more masculine traits than they do.
And it's actually draining. It's really draining. It's draining on our health, on our skin, on our female health. Mm-hmm. It makes us open the fridge and switch on the TV every night.
Yeah.
Just to soothe the overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And if I look into the energy flow, especially in a couple, in a committed couple, it stops us from receiving his energy. Mm-hmm. When we stop receiving energy, we stop receiving also romance and affection and sex and all of those other expressions of energy. Mm. But it's literally blocking it off energetically, just because when I have to be in this more masculine role, and if you look into our energy centers, which is my most prominent energy center, this is my solar plexus. This is not my womb. Mm-hmm. And this is where the whole flow, it's just messed up. Unfortunately. So thank you very much for sharing. This was, at least for me, very interesting to hear how it all started. And I do believe that we are able, even in our today's world where women work, where women have to take over responsibility, and they want to, right? We want to also.
Yeah.
But I do believe that when it comes to our personal romantic relationships, we should come back to a place where it's more traditional. Mm-hmm. And this is one huge mistake, which I see again coming through social media. So we have nowadays a lot of people speaking about polarities, feminine, masculine energy.
And yeah,
the way it's presented, it's like the masculine is the one taking the decisions, doing the work, taking the actions, and the feminine is the one following and being open and being warm and leaning back. And what nobody speaks about on social media is the fact that, yes, you can be leaning back and warm and open, but this does not mean that I have to cut off my head and my brain and head it over to a man.
Of course.
Because this is also repelling. And I have heard, you know, the women I work with who date, I have heard through them men saying something like, if in the first month I'm doing everything and she just doesn't do anything, doesn't initiate a date or doesn't in any form show that she's interested, after 4 weeks, I'm out because I'm not going to babysit someone. So this is the influence we have when we misunderstand this polarity thing and apply it not on the right way. We actually go overboard in being feminine, and this pushes the men away again because they're like, I don't need a baby, I need a partner. So it's something, and yeah, and we want to really want to find that sweet spot where we're still us, we are still thinking and wanting and knowing what we want and knowing our desires, but also, of course, being able to let the man be in the more masculine traditional role as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, when you said that we don't want a child or a baby, it reminds me of that. There's that famous relationship psychologist, Sadia Khan. She pops up in my feed on social media all the time because obviously the algorithm's trying to teach me something. But she often says that men at their core are looking to be mothered because there'll be no woman that ever loves them like their mother did. Like a mother will, like you could do anything wrong in the whole world and your mum will still love you. And so there's a lot of men that are out there looking to reconnect with some adult version of that kind of love. And that it leads to relationship dynamics where, yeah, women are having to, you know, baby or treat the male partner as like the third child, because at the core, he's got either mother wounds or he's desperately craving, you know, what he got when he was much younger.
Oh, yes. And I say, oh, yes, because it is a big topic.
It's huge.
But I have two boys, 2 and 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And what I have been putting a major focus on is being as much as possible in my feminine with my kids. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, doesn't always work because you have to say no, you have to say eat your breakfast. So it doesn't really always work. But I have been trying that. And it's so interesting. My 3-year-old, when we get out of the car, he says, Mommy, we are on the street. You have to watch for the cars. It's, you know, stop here. Like, I'm checking for the cars, which is very masculine. And yeah, it's funny, but I let him do that. And it's something which, as a woman, of course, we talk, our conversation today, the context is about our partners, romantic partners. But as a woman, we have also responsibility of how do we raise our girls and boys, right? And when we raise boys being the same way as I'm being with my partner, which is primarily masculine, we teach a boy that this is normal. We teach a boy that being responsible, taking charge, taking care is something that they don't have to do. Mm-hmm. So as women, we have the double responsibility. First is to ensure we have a really romantic and juicy and flowy relationship. And we can be even 60-year-old and we still can flip our whole relationship experience. And the second responsibilities we have is with our children. And even if our children are already teenagers, even if our daughters already have kids on their own, you know, no matter the age, by our example and by the way we treat them, we can show them that they can make a different experience. So everything is reversible. It doesn't matter what age you start. So if women who are listening who have no kids, great, you can just do it from zero, amazingly. And women who have older kids, still you can change. I have seen, I'm thinking now of a woman, she has 17 and 19-year-old sons, and she's divorced. Mm-hmm. She said, when I flipped, first, my relationship with my ex-husband, we're divorced for 5 years, has never been better before, not even when we were married. Second, my 17 and 19-year-old sons, out of the sudden, in our household, they are present. They are sharing with me what's going on. They want to involve me in their life. They are putting their shoes under the rug. Now, all those little nice things. And this is the impact we have. And this is really the power we have as a woman. And also our, not just the, our power, but also our responsibility, how we can create the life we desire. How can we create a better world around us? And we should never, ever feel like we are a victim of the society, victim of whoever treated us badly, because it starts from within. And that's something which I hope that would be the second takeaway, is it starts from within.
Yeah.
And we can change the world, literally.
Yeah, no, totally. We have to take ownership and responsibility for our own stuff. And I think as well, like in these conversations, and I've actually now try and avoid relationship advice on social media because it got me to a point where it just kept popping up in my feed so much that I realized I was taking a particular mindset or energy towards dating and thinking, well, the experts say she's got to be this, 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 and this. And the experts say that I've got to be this, 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 and this. And that I was sort of showing up inauthentically because I was thinking about checking boxes or making sure that I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And in that process, I guess I was like actually kind of losing myself a little bit in being like, who am I and how am I showing up and how do I want to present myself? And so I actually unsubscribed from all of these psychologists and relationship experts because I wanted to come back to myself again and be like, what does my heart want, you know, rather than the tick box? Because I've also had the experience of having the sort of really feminine, super attractive person by my side and being like, oh, as a man, apparently this is what I should want, but there just being no connection, you know? And it's like, this isn't a fulfilling relationship at all. And I don't want it, you know, just because it ticks boxes socially or social media guys say, yeah, the alpha male has the super hot damsel in distress. I'm like, yeah, but this is 0% fun, right? And so there's all this information that's coming in, you know, you can lose yourself in the process of being sort of ticking boxes or checking boxes and losing yourself and being like, what do I actually want and what feels right for me? With the knowledge of I'm also trying to take responsibility for my trauma and my triggers. And there's plenty of men out there that are dangerous and manipulative and cheaters and all of that kind of stuff. And so how do I not call in that kind of man?
Can I ask you, when you said, okay, she's so feminine, but I don't feel a connection.
Mm-hmm.
What would you need not necessarily you in person, but what you as a representative of the man here in the conversation.
Yeah.
What would a man need to feel a connection with a partner?
Yeah, well, I think that answer is not a very good answer, but I think every man is going to answer that differently because each person has different needs. You know, for me, it's a shared understanding of health. The ability to laugh a lot is really important. I find a lot of natural connection comes out of me. And I feel really connected when there's a lot of shared laughter as well about, you know, jokes and that kind of thing. And a curiosity for life. You know, I'm a very curious person. I want to sit down and, you know, I have a podcast where we talk about all sorts of stuff. I want to sit down all the time and have these conversations. And I guess so it's, you know, maybe the classic stereotypical example is being very attractive, but not being very smart. That's not what I want. I want a really deep, meaningfully connected relationship. I've done a lot of personal development. I've done a lot of healing. However, as speaking for men in this conversation, I don't think I represent most men. I don't think many men have had the opportunity to go on that kind of journey or be surrounded by women that are creating that safe space that we talked about at the start. So I think everybody needs something different. Because I also know people who, you know, that typical scenario as well of the man has a lot of wealth and all that he seems to care about is that she's really hot. You know, and it doesn't matter how much money I have in the bank, that will not be my first box that I want to tick is not super attractive. It's do I feel good around her and does she feel good around me?
Well, I think that's the point because what you're doing, if you're talking about a podcast or if you're talking about sports, it doesn't matter, but the feeling good around each other is the criteria for me. And of course, it's different because we have different interests and different lifestyle. And what I can share is I was asking my husband and what he said was when you look to settle down in a committed relationship, you're looking differently as a man than when you are just enjoying life.
Yeah, definitely.
So depending on what stage of life the man is and what they're, you know, their long-term perspective is on what they want, they maybe are looking for different qualities, right?
Yes.
And I think that those conversations, especially in the early dating, are quite important to know who is on what stage and who wants what, just to be clear.
Yes. And I think as well, the ability to have those conversations, honestly, are also difficult for most people because it's it's unsafe. You might be sharing something that you maybe you're enjoying the relationship, but you don't want it to end, but you actually can't give, you know, I'm not ready for kids, or actually I'm not in a situation to be able to start a family, or, you know. And so I think it comes back to that same thing of most people don't know how to have uncomfortable conversations in a safe way. Like, because we've all got trauma, most of us have never been taught how to actually do it. And then there's a lot of people out there that are social media experts where they talk about it a lot or they listen to it a lot, but the actual embodiment of sitting in the conversation in the room in front of the person and doing the conversation as you feel terrified and scared and crying and still keeping yourself together enough to communicate maturely, that's the real work, right? We could read 10,000 personal development books and it means nothing on game day.
Yeah. It's such a huge difference between knowing and doing it. Mm. When I see women and talk to women, they say, oh, I've been 3 years into therapy and I absolutely understand my attachment style. I'm anxious. I fall for avoidant men. And they really work with those labels. But when you know that you're anxious, and then what? And then you're still anxious. And then you still snap at him, or you still double text and triple text. So it's really about not just knowing, but embodying. And this is where, in my opinion, when you start focusing on your energy, you get automatically into your body and you automatically get into, from this logical thinking, into feeling, which is what gives all the answers to everyone. And because we're on a health podcast, there's really one point I want to make. And I don't know if you talk a lot about that, maybe, but when we have unprocessed emotions, mm-hmm. feelings, they stay stuck around us in our aura. And when they're too much or too intense, they start working themselves down to the body. They manifest as either chronic disease, or for women, a lot of disappointments for men are in our female health and hormones, mm-hmm. very strongly present. And this is something, the more we shift from our logical understanding of what's going on into really embodying it and feeling it and changing the way we are through embodying, we also unlock the healing of any bigger chronic issues. And as a great example, which I can give from my experience up to the age of mid-30s, I was really dealing with PMS and all those kind of typical female health challenges. Mm-hmm. And when I did my 4-year apprenticeship in energy, I, of course, started working on myself first. And what I discovered is how literally there was an energetic block around my cervix, an energetic block over my ovaries, and they would just not function as they should. Mm-hmm. And there, the combination of the traditional healing methods, which is just going to the doctor and doing what they ask you to do, with healing the disappointments and all those stuck energy, which especially for women very often is collected in the womb, this combination makes a massive difference. This combination makes a woman who wants to have babies, who have challenges, to be able to, for example, this was my case specifically. So this is something which it's another implication of energy. We were talking so far a lot on the more emotional aspects of energy, but it's mm-hmm. the pure, more practical, health-oriented application where it starts from me processing my baggage, childhood, past relationships, all of that, the problem with the baggage is that this is literally like a stuck energetic ball somewhere around me. Mm-hmm. And this is holding me back from being able to have a new relationship, but also holding me back in my health as well. Mm. It starts from there. And then we come into flow. And from the flow, we're able to connect better with a person. We're healthier. We're feeling better. We're feeling more calm. So it has this overall impact on us as women.
Mm. I'm so glad you shared that. And I totally agree that energetic aspect of female health and hormonal health is related to this, because the expression of the feminine comes from the femininity of the body, right? Which is the parts of the body that are more feminine that a man doesn't have are then therefore negatively affected. And actually, this might interest you, and it might interest the people listening as well, is that recently I've been looking into prostate cancer. So obviously only men can get prostate cancer. and the metaphysical, so the energetic reason behind prostate cancer or issues with the prostate, is the inability to express the masculine. And an interesting statistic that comes with that is that almost 98% of men in the world will have prostate cancer by the time they're 80. That's almost all men. And so if we're looking at this from an energetic standpoint, theoretically, that means that the modern landscape of men have a huge inability to express their masculine in a safe way and that be okay and it be, you know, normalized, I guess, like it once was. But how interesting is that?
Wow. Yes, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Because if you think of energy centers, the prostate, I would put it between the first and the second. The first is our basically existence, existential fears and how we feel about our existence, which is very masculine place because men are expected to provide, etc. And then it's the second energy center, which is our sexuality and also our connection with our partner. So if they're not able to express their masculine and if they're overwhelmed by trying to provide and the pressure to provide, it hits you somewhere there. Well, the bladder for me is clearly a second energy center. For the prostate, not sure. I'm not a doctor. But, you know, this is it's somewhere there and it makes total sense for me.
Yeah.
And it's actually frightening. It's frightening.
Yeah, totally. For men, it's so normal in the Western world, so normal that prostate cancer will just happen at some point in your life. And that's a combination of, you know, we're talking about the energy here of like not expressing the masculine. However, the modern diet, toxins, lifestyle, stress lead to a massive plummeting of testosterone at a very young age. So that's probably a factor in that as well, which is also, you know, the masculine hormone, or it's at least extremely high in men compared to the testosterone in women. But yeah, I think it's the more that I've learned about that recently and understanding the men in my life that have had those experiences and seeing their relationships from the outside, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
So. Thank you so much for sharing this because I'm looking always about female health, women, and, but this other side is so important to understand.
Totally. Yeah, when I've got the metaphysical book on the shelf here and when I pulled it out, I was like, oh, no way, this makes so much sense. But no, I've really loved having this conversation and I would love for you to come back. I think we could talk about so many topics, but before we wrap up, where can everybody find your stuff, find you online, get involved in your world?
Yes, I hang out on Instagram. My handle is Juliana Joy Coach, and I am author of the Bring Him Closer Energetic Framework, which is a great starting place for everyone who wants to start managing their energy in their relationship with their partner, no matter if you're dating or if you're exclusive living together, married. In all cases, it's the same principle that applies. And this is something which I believe everyone will be able to find under the show notes. And I definitely try to talk to everyone who DMs me on my Instagram. So I would definitely love to hear of what resonated most from this podcast.
Wonderful. Yes, I will certainly put all of your links down in the show notes below. So if you're listening and you're liking this conversation, then please scroll down there, click the links, hang out with Juliana, send her a message. She's obviously amazing. We're definitely going to get her back. But before we wrap up, what is one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about?
Yes, Matty, please. We have to educate women about perimenopause. It's so not known and so underrated. And because I work with women who are, you know, 35, 45 in that stage where the perimenopause starts. Mm-hmm. And I can see how that impacts their levels of anxiety.
Yeah.
And just because they do not know it and do not take action, where I just mentioned earlier, the combination of working with your emotions, your energy, but also going to a doctor and listening to what the doctor prescribes. So this combination is missing. And we, especially for perimenopause and also menopause, we need both. It's very important. Mm-hmm. So I would love if you would educate a little more on that.
Fantastic. Yeah, we've got a few episodes on perimenopause already, but we absolutely need more. And I totally agree. And I think the stuff that you've brought up in regards to the connection between our physical health and expressing the feminine, I think that's a really good sort of point of transition into that conversation of hormones and perimenopause and that type of thing as well. So I totally agree. But thank you so much for being here. I really value this conversation. And yeah, we have to have some more.
Yes, I enjoyed it so much. So I would love to.
Wonderful. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll catch you soon. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.